Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello and welcome back to Gotham Watch. Sorry we missed a week. I was a little under the weather last week, so we've got a jam-packed episode. We're going to cover episodes 2 and 3 of Gotham Season 2 today. With me, as always, is Eckenbauer.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on, man? You ready to break this down?
Yeah. Well, at least one of them anyway, right?
Yeah, right. We'll get to that. I'm trying to hide my reactions to episode 3. So, but we'll get right into it. Let's get right into episode 2. We're going to change the format too, by the way. Last episode it was a lot of me talking about everything as we went through the episode. Now we're just going to kind of highlight what we thought were the best scenes and just kind of give our takes on it. So, the first scene that I liked in this episode was we saw Edward Nygma and we saw a alternate personality kind of show up here in the mirror, so to speak. And it's I guess you would call it his killer persona. Mm-hmm. It's a very it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of feel. I don't know if it's necessarily Riddler or not here. I thought it was cool though. I mean, it shows that, you know, his psychoticness is deepening, psychosis or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, Brian, what did you think about this one?
That was a very good scene. You can see the like you said, the psychotic part of the Riddler starting to come out. I still have a really hard time not picturing Jim Carrey
as the Riddler, somebody else. Yeah.
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 But it's still, you could see how he has the split personalities and arguing with himself. So.
Right. But yeah, so I just don't know if this is necessarily fits the Riddler's persona, and maybe it's that whole Jim Carrey thing, like you said, and I'm used to only seeing Jim Carrey play the role. So I don't know. It's just really, really hard for me to see anybody else in that role, and maybe that's part of it. But I don't know if this persona, because he's more of like a stone cold killer kind of persona than it is. Because when you think Riddler, you think, you know, kind of goofy, a little, you know, obviously insane, but, you know, more smart and stuff. I don't know if this guy's necessarily smart. He just seems very confident, kind of a feel to him. I don't know.
Well, I think that's what the Edward Nygma is extremely smart.
Mm.
So I think you're going to start to see the two blend, the two personalities blend a little bit.
Yeah.
As it goes on.
Yeah, because I would think the Riddler is more nerdy than anything. Like, he's not like cool or confident or killer. I mean, he's a killer, but he's not, you know, I don't know. To me, it's cool to see, but I don't know if it necessarily fits the Riddler. So we'll see. I'm interested to see where they go next with this. So,
yep.
So Brian, what was your scene, sir?
Okay, my first favorite scene. I think we're doing with three each, right?
Right.
Yep. So my first of the three was the cheerleader bus scene.
Okay.
This was the scene where we saw a bus carrying Gotham City high school cheerleading squad coming back. I guess they're coming back from a game. And they're getting ready to get let out to school. And the maniacs pull up in the stolen gas truck. And then they cover all the cheerleaders in gas.
Mm.
They attempt to light the bus on fire. But Jerome Zippo doesn't work. And then
right.
They have to use Arnold Tompkins, the crazy one.
Mm.
They use his lighter, but it doesn't work until Gordon throws him out of the way.
And then he gets assassinated before he can talk.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. but the reason why I liked it, it had a ton of action.
Oh, yeah.
And it showed a lot of different angles it reminded me of that of the Batman TV show of the 60s.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so the way certain angles were filmed, it had a lot of comic book esque pictures. Like when you look down the bus, the angle of the camera was tilted just slightly, so that the one set of seats was higher than the other, and Joker looked like he was walking, or Jerome, sorry, looked like he was walking down the center at an angle.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's an interesting point. I really like the scene. I mean, it definitely showed that, you know, because right before they get to that scene, you know, Joker's like trying to pick out, and he's like, that one, you know. So, well, I should call him Jerome, not Joker. Sorry. But yeah, it's definitely shows that that these guys are completely nuts, completely insane, psychopathic, and nothing is off limits with these guys. They really are maniacs per se.
Yep.
Yeah, and that you know, that they're gonna light an entire. I like the scene where Jerome's just, you know, he's just throwing gas on all these girls that are just sobbing, obviously crying, and he's just playfully just dousing them with gasoline.
Oh yeah, and then he gets into he gets them to cheer for him.
Yeah.
he gets them to spell oh no.
very Joker-esque. I thought, you know, I found that, you know, dark humor. You know, funny. Not that I ever want to see cheerleaders set on fire, but you get the gist of the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a really great scene. Another really good building scene for Jerome, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, kind of showing that he's, you know, he may be the Joker that we all hope that he is or could be. So, my next scene that I liked was, I liked Alfred, when Alfred agrees to train Bruce. So this scene, to back up a little bit, Alfred basically gets fired because he basically takes a bat to the Batcave computers, or Thomas Wayne's computers.
To the Bat computer.
Yeah, to the Bat computer, knocks it offline before Bruce can look at anything, and Bruce is obviously very upset and literally fires Alfred. And Alfred walks away and goes all the way to the bus station, I guess, or train station. And there we see Bruce Wayne show up and basically say he doesn't want him to leave, but he is definitely dedicated to his dad's work and that nothing's going to stop him from doing that. And essentially they go back and forth for a little bit, and Alfred agrees that he will train Bruce, but he has to do what he says. Essentially, this is a really good scene. This is this kind of shows, you know, that I guess the beginning. If you got to have a place to start for Batman, I think other than Bruce's parents dying, that this might be the first step he really kind of takes, because he's committed from this point on. He's committed to becoming Batman. I don't know. What'd you think, Brian?
Well, in the past, he said he's committed before. Mm-hmm. He committed to being trained and then decided not to be trained. I have a hard time. I don't know. I guess it's because he's so young, but I have a hard time picturing any kind of training that he could actually get to even become anywhere resembling Batman at all in this series of Gotham.
Mm.
Because he is so young, and all of our villains are going to be older.
Right.
That there's not going to be, unless they do like some kind of like fast forward, and then they get a new person to play Bruce.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that we're seeing his devotion to the cause. You know, his true calling that his dad, you know, said, if you have that, then go ahead and follow it.
Exactly. I'm kind of in agreement with you. I mean, the kid plays a very good weakling, that the actor does, but he doesn't do much to portray a Batman per se, at least not yet. But then again, you know, we're so early into the series, and considering how his age and everything, I think maybe it's just a more of a realistic take on the situation. I'm not sure. So, but yeah, very good scene. And, I think, I'm like loving to see where this goes, because I like the idea of Alfred being more of a badass, compared to Alfred's we've seen in the past, which is more just a butler kind of associate. So,
right.
Yeah. So, Brian, what was your next scene?
My next scene was Barbara at the precinct and her slight transformation into Harley Quinn.
Ah, yes.
Right? So in this scene, Barbara calls Gordon on his desk phone and proceeds to chat with him. You know, he shows his usual concern for his ex and tells her, I'll help you. You just need to come in and I'll help you. And then she laughs. And then he realizes that he hears it both on the phone and inside the precinct.
Mm.
Right? And when they pan over to where she's standing, she's got on some of the famous colored Harley Quinn colored gloves and jacket and outfit. Right?
Yep.
Red, black, and white.
I did notice that, yeah.
You know, is it the beginning of Harley Quinn? Dear God, I hope so.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, she lures Jim out in the alley. Where he ends up getting jumped by the brute of the maniacs, that Aaron Helsinger.
Right.
That was the guy that beat up his family and stuff.
Mm.
He gets beat up pretty good and kind of he gets knocked out, and then Barbara jumps on top of him and says she doesn't need help, that she's finally free, and then she kisses him, even though he's covered in blood.
Yeah. Yeah, she leaves the blood on her face too, which she doesn't wipe it or anything.
Yeah, it was one of those like weird psychotic.
Yeah, definitely something you would see Harley Quinn do, in my opinion. Yeah, I liked the scene. I thought it was great. I thought what happened inside the precinct while that was going on was just equally as good, as well, because we saw not only did we see the Harley Quinn, but we could really get to see Jerome. You know, kind of be the Joker in a police outfit, which we've seen before in the movies, you know, a Joker in a police outfit. And he did a really good job, in my opinion, there as well. What did you think about that part, Brian?
Yeah, he did a very good job. That actor, he's got tremendous skills, and it looks like he's watched a lot of the Batman animated series with a lot of his mannerisms.
Yeah, I thought so. These last two episodes, he sounded more like Mark Hamill's Joker. Than he does the other, you know, maybe than forgive me, Jack Nicholson or
Heath Ledger,
yeah. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so another good scene, another excellent scene. A lot of foreshadowing. I you know, at least we hope. If not, they're definitely teasing the heck out of us. Really, really good scene. My next scene that I liked was this is where I'm just going to call it Alfred versus Lucius, because it's kind of a combative scene at the bar, even though they're on the same side. Basically, Alfred kind of sits down, finds Lucius, because in my other favorite scene, Bruce says, well, you got to fix the computer as well. And Alfred has no idea how to fix computers. He's just, you know, a muscle guy essentially in this series. And, he's smart, don't get me wrong, but he's not tech smart. And so he finds Lucius at the bar and sits down. They have a very interesting conversation where Alfred basically says, I need your help and you're going to help me. And he did it in a public setting way. But if you betray me or Bruce, I'm going to kill you, essentially. It was a very a very well-done scene, in my opinion. Because it's basically these two squaring off, I guess, mentally to some degree. I thought it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of little back and forth, and I don't know, Brian, what did you think on this one?
Yeah, it was odd. Because the only time, even reading the comic books, I never really caught on. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention or what, but I never even heard of Lucius Fox.
Mm. Yeah.
When I was watching like cartoon animated series or any of the other shows.
Yeah.
Except for Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
When he played him, and he really didn't even play a huge part in Nolan's Batman.
Not really. He was kind of like the tech guy, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. So to see him. Or to see Alfred kind of like basically threaten him
mm-hmm.
was kind of, it was odd.
Yeah, it was strange, but for this particular, for this story, I mean, it had, this is kind of like the beginning, right? Because he's never worked with Lucius before. So he's kind of feeling him out, and he's basically threatening him at the same time. Because in the scene, he also says, you know, you're the one that said that, to put this idea in Bruce's head that his father was a Stoic, you know, kind of
right.
set him on this path. So now you're in it with me, pal, essentially, is what he's saying. But yeah, it was a little odd. I'll give you that, but I don't know. But I'm really interested to see where this goes. I kind of like the idea of having Bruce having not just one mentor being Alfred, but also having Lucius as his mentor, and see where that goes, and see if this Lucius Fox is just as noble as he was in the trilogy in the movies. So definitely. All right, Brian. So that brings us to your number one scene.
Oh, my number one scene.
Mm.
My favorite scene by far is the Jerome's Russian roulette scene.
Mm. Yeah. Oh my. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't encapture all the Joker is and how he acts, I don't know what does.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that was missing from that scene was a little bit of the laugh. But yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian. I don't want to interrupt.
But. Yeah, that's okay. But yeah, I mean, he has that whole like silly, cynical way of dealing with things, as we know, we've come to know from like all every aspect of the Joker we've seen in any kind of Batman ever.
Mm.
And he portrayed it so well here. He was dealing with the fellow Maniacs member, Greenwood, who was the cannibal.
Right.
Right. You know what? I'm gonna play a clip.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna play a clip of a little bit of that scene. You can just hear his tone.
Give that back. I saw it first. No, you didn't. I said give it back. Make me, you little brat. Your samurai skills are excellent, Greenwood-san. But they are nothing compared to me.
I mean, he's been playing with a samurai sword, and all of a sudden, Joker pulls out a chainsaw.
They were actually awesome. Ready to do battle, too. That was what was hilarious about it.
Yeah, I mean it was awesome.
Yeah, the crazed look in his eye, everything. But yeah,
he even did the old samurai movie where you say something and then move your lips.
Yeah,
he's like, your samurai skills are amazing, and he moves his lips afterwards. Oh, I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so then Galavan walks in and says, you know, if you guys want to settle this, who the leader of the group is, you guys know what this game is. And he pulls out a gun, takes all the bullets out except for one, and then gives it to him and says, here, who's the leader? Trying to say, who's the crazier person?
Right.
And Greenwood takes one. You know, he shoots first. And then Joker takes three in a row.
Yeah. He puts it in different spots. And
each, each time you could just see it in his face, like, oh, it was awesome.
It was because he's talking the whole time, and he's like intense, and he's doing the whole crazy bit, and it just, I mean, it's like the perfect build up for Jerome from that point on. As far as I'm concerned, Jerome is the Joker from that point going forward. I don't know about you, Brian, but for me, that was the clincher. I was like, okay, I'm accepting this guy as the Joker from now on. From that point, up to that point, I'm still on the fence a little bit. But right there, after that scene, I'm like, that's it. That's
right,
it.
Right, exactly. It was brilliantly done. It was so far of the entire season up to that point. That was the best episode of the series so far.
Oh, by far, and I had not, and I was on like cloud nine after I watched this entire episode because I was like, what a great build up! This is truly the rise of the villains. Awesome, awesome, awesome! And then we get to episode three.
Oh no!
So we get this great build up, and then the fall. Don't get me wrong, I still love the series, but we're gonna get into episode three starting right now. All right, Brian, I'll give you the honors of this one because I had a hard time with episode three, coming up with three.
Oh, me too, man. Mine was basically just trying to pick out memorable spots more so than favorites. I don't really want to call them favorites, but we'll call them memorable. things that keep you, you know, so if you're only listening to this podcast and you can't watch the episode for some reason, yeah. These are the things you need to know. In order to just stay kind of current. All right, so one of my memorable scenes was when Bullock goes to Penguin's house and threatens him. You know, he goes in, he says, "Wow, you know, look at this house. You know, it's funny because I still remember you as the little shrimp who carries Fish's umbrella." And, you know, basically telling him, you know, I know where you came from. You're not going to scare me. And basically says, you know, if you're going to have, you're going to do anything to Jim because of him owing you, then you're going to have to go through me. And then he says, and plus, I still owe you for Fish.
Yeah, right? I didn't see this one coming, man. I don't know about you. I was surprised. I don't know. What did you think? I mean,
I was a little caught off guard, but I knew that animosity would be there with as much as Bullock liked Fish.
Yeah.
And knowing that the Penguin pushed her over the edge.
I think this might be a change in Bullock, too. I don't know if it's because he's reacting to everything that's happened, but he's a much more bold Bullock than we saw in season one. In season one, he's just kind of... He's accepted that, you know, it's a corrupt city and he's playing along. And now, I mean, to see him walk in right into the Penguin's lair and just lay it on the Penguin in front of his goons, that I mean, he's incredibly ballsy now.
I think it has to do with two things. I think one, it had to do with how much respect he had for the mob organization.
That could be.
Originally. But two, I think he knows that Penguin is basically the reason why he had to come back to the police force.
Mm.
You know, because Penguin started this spiral of events that has happened, and now he had to come out of, you know, being with his girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
You know, living the life of, not really luxury, but leisure, I guess you say, you know, being a bartender, not really having to worry about anything. To having to come back to the police force, and now he's just going to be pissed off.
Yeah, I definitely got it. He's very pissed off, and it I mean, just comes right at him. I was just like, wow, okay. So, because you know, we kind of got like I forget what was it. Was it the in season one? Was it the goat episode? Where they were talking to where Jim's talking to his old partner, and he's like. Yeah, you got to watch him because he's the bold one or he's the, you know, and he was kind of like saying that Gordon was like he used to be. And I was like, and Gordon's like, really? So I don't know if maybe this is a return of Bullock to who he originally was before when he first joined the force. Maybe more of the he's obviously wiser, but, you know, he's bold, kind of like Gordon now. So now we got two guys out there trying to clean the city up kind of maybe. I don't know. So, but yeah, that was a good scene though. Definitely a good pick, Brian, because it was a lot of, if there was one good thing to take away from this episode, it was probably that scene. As far as my first favorite scene, if there was one, I kind of like the idea, you know, we saw Bruce and Selena Kyle again. I guess I'm calling her Cat Girl for now instead of Cat Woman. This was kind of an interesting scene. Bruce sees her at the Magic Gala, the magic show, whatever you want to call it, the charity event, and they kind of have a little tit for tat, and you know, Bruce basically says he misses her, and eventually, anyway, and but it's so it, they're kind of trying to keep that whole, I guess, puppy love scene going. It was kind of nice to see, you know, that they're, you know, that they're trying to keep that storyline going. I don't know how well it works necessarily in this show because they're so young. I don't know, Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was this, like I said, it's really, with them being so young, it's so hard to watch things unfold.
Yeah.
But I did like this scene. You know, Bruce comes out and he says, "You realize that we're here to help people."
Right.
You know, basically insinuating that Selena's always out for herself or whatever.
Yeah.
And she even says, she goes, "Well, I need to eat too, so that's helping me." You know, I don't know. To be honest, I've never really liked Catwoman.
Yeah.
In any of the Batmans.
Yeah.
Like she's never really had a.
Well, she's kind of she kind of shows, I will say, she's always shown that Batman has a soft side, I guess, and maybe that shows that Batman has a weak point or a weak side, I guess. Maybe that's why. I'm not sure. And it definitely shows Bruce's weak side because he does the whole kind of, "Well, I miss you."
Yeah. It's kind of like he has that always looking for the best in people.
Right, exactly. And, you know, he's like, "Well, you're my friend and I miss you," you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know. I think it's always I guess it's a whole tit for tat thing where, you know, you got two sides of the coin or two different ways of looking at the same thing. So, right. I don't know. What was your next favorite scene there, Brian? Or
my next most memorable scene was where Barbara, I'll call her Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Tells Lee, who happens to be strapped to a spinning knife throwing wheel.
Right, because they're part of the magic act. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Well, this is after the fact because Lee wasn't part of it at that point. She had gotten not really kidnapped, but taken and then put on the wheel.
Right. That's right.
So she's getting spun real slow on the wheel by Barbara, and then she says she thinks that her and Jim will get back together because they both have a dark side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could see it in her face that Barbara really thinks that they're going to get back together. And you know, those of us that have followed the comics, you know that Gordon and Barbara's daughter actually becomes Batgirl.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I wonder if they're actually going to follow that part of the comic or they're not. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. After this episode, they definitely keep you guessing. Where are they going with this? Are they going to go Harley Quinn? Are they going to go Batgirl? Are they going to go anywhere with her? You know, it's hard to tell after this episode. So,
Barbara is Harley Quinn. I'm thinking.
Okay.
It would be Barbara and Gordon's daughter, who ends up becoming Batgirl.
Okay.
Later on down the line. So I don't know if they're going to take her full Harley Quinn and say that Gordon and Harley Quinn had a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. And they already said that they're not going to work in the actual real life pregnancy of Lee into the show, because actually in real life, the actor that plays Gordon and then the actress that plays Lee are actually engaged to be married and they're pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Yeah. So then, but they already said they're not going to work it into the show.
Huh. That's interesting.
But I did hear a funny joke. They said that they should name the kid Gotham. so that every night when they wake up, when the kid's crying, she can lean over to him and say, "Gotham needs you."
That's funny. I didn't know that. Well, that's an interesting little tidbit there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again, I like the scene. I, you know, are they, where are they going? Which way are they going? You know, after this episode, I'm not sure. Brian, why don't you go ahead and go with your next one, then I'll go with mine, because it'll kind of give us a good segue to talk about the whole episode as a whole, I think. So why don't you tell us your next number one?
Oh, you didn't want to talk about your Bruce working with Gordon?
Did I leave that on there? Did I leave that untalked? I might have. I'm sorry. Yeah, Bruce working with Gordon. That's right. I'm sorry. I thought I was already the one number ones. My next favorite scene was Bruce working with Gordon. This was the first time because essentially they take the, to give you a little bit of background, what's going on. There was this magic show, the Joker and Harley, well, Barbara, Jerome and Barbara, take over and, you know, masquerade themselves. And, they obviously reveal who they really are. And, essentially holding people hostage, and so the Joker, aka Jerome, says, "For my first victim, I'd like, you know, Bruce Wayne back up," because originally they had Bruce Wayne up before they revealed who they were, and they did a Solomon half trick. So he's looking for him again. Bruce is hiding behind the curtains, and they say, "Well, if he's not, we can't find him. So we're gonna." execute the butler. So they grab Alfred and they're about to pull him up, and Bruce actually pauses for a minute, and then he beefs himself up and he's about to go out there and accept his fate, and Gordon meets up with him and they come up with this plan, and they hide a gun inside of Bruce's jacket, which Alfred's able to pull away from him, and they're able, and that creates the whole scene. This to me shows, you know, this is the first time where we see Bruce become from the boy to more of a man, I guess, kind of taking responsibility, and, kind of shows a little bit of heroism, I guess. So it was kind of good to see, you know, to see him finally step up from being the boy, because he's always had somebody there to protect him and fight him. This is kind of the first time he's kind of on his own per se, and he's stepping up to do the right thing. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, I like that scene. The way he came out, though, it kind of caught me off guard. If it was, I don't know if it was me or you, and say I'm a butler of somebody, and the kid runs up to me, how fast Alfred pulled that gun out of his jacket with the way he was talking, he was like, there's a gun in my jacket, blah, 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 and he's just going away. But magically, Alfred knew to grab the gun.
There's a little bit of suspension of disbelief there. I agree.
But overall, you're right. He definitely took more of a leadership role, but a more of a upfront kind of, you know, I'm going to do this. This is my calling. I'm going to save Alfred, and because there's a plan.
Right, exactly, and this is like the first time, you know, because Batman always works with Gordon, so that was kind of cool to see a little foreshadowing there, even if it wasn't a huge deal. You know, it wasn't obviously Batman, but still, so it was kind of cool to see. Brian, your next.
All right, so my most memorable from the show was when Jerome was at his father's place, his father's apartment.
Right.
And he was, toying with him before he kills him. But he was toying with him the entire time. And then the fortune teller tells Jerome he doesn't have to do this. He's like, "Oh, but I do." He goes, "How about one last fortune for old time's sake?"
Yeah.
And you see the fortune teller. You kind of see his eyes. Like every time he's told a fortune in the past, he kind of freezes, and you can see his eyeball move up. It's hard to say looks up because he's blind, but you can see his eyeball move up.
Right. Yeah.
Like he's seeing the future, and he says, "You know, your legacy will be that of death and evil.
Right.
And children will be in fear of your persona or your
name.
Your name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep."
That was I guess, my most memorable
moment. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It, to me, it was kind of like they were again, it was, you know, they're building up and they're building up, and then suddenly that was like they were crowning Jerome at that point, you know, with that fortune or whatever. I was like, oh, okay, so now he's officially the Joker. There's the Joker crown. You know, you've got a little, you know.
Pass the torch.
Pass the torch. There it is. And then, you know, that brings me to my scene where at the end where people they end up, what's his name? We should just go ahead and talk about it.
Theo
Gallivan kills Jerome. He says, well, we need a hero, and he pretends to be the hero by killing Jerome, even though he's the one that set up the whole gang, essentially. And so he goes out to be this hero, and he kills Jerome. They actually stab him in the neck. He dies with a big smile on his face. And then you see other people see that, and they start acting like the Joker and stuff. And that's supposed to be, I guess, like, how would you explain it, Brian, that they're inspired, I guess?
Yeah, it felt like they were, like they saw it and they felt like they could do better.
Yeah.
Like they could do it better. Like that laugh, like it was contagious.
Right. Like, so you see a kid laughing on the TV after watching all this stuff, you know, unfold on the news, and you see another guy go on a stabbing spree with his friend, and then he ends up stabbing his friend, you know, doing the laugh the whole time. But again, it was a lot of build up and a lot of work to create the Joker, in my opinion, and then they just pulled the rug out from under us. I don't know. What did you think, Brian? I mean, what was your take on them killing him off?
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't care for it. Like you said, you know, it's hard. I'm so angry at that episode. It's hard to put into words.
I know, because I'm such a fan of the episode and I want to stay positive, but I'm like, what the hell? I kept waiting for somebody to come along with a syringe and revive him, you know?
Well, okay, so there's a couple ways that I think it could play out.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're going to kill Jerome off, to be honest.
I hope not. I really, really hope not.
Here's my thought. The cops think that they have killed off Jerome.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're no longer going to be looking for him.
Yeah.
Okay, we've seen in the past, Gallivan has ways about him, like different things, like when he gave the blue drink.
Yeah.
To the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen on other DC shows with the Lazarus Pit.
Yeah.
And bringing people back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that there's going to be something where they break in
to the morgue,
and steal Jerome back.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get him back. Right.
Yeah.
And when they revive him, rigor mortis is already set in kind of on his face and he can't do anything but smile.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Yeah. It'd be kind of cool if he had like pale skin too. So
right, and that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So like, and maybe he'll have the, you know, the green tint hair.
Right.
And the smile on his face, and the pale skin. I don't know. I really find it hard to believe that they had a character so awesome that they just killed him. You know,
it's a lot of work for one episode, in my opinion. I mean,
because Gallivan is awful.
So far, yeah, they haven't done much with him.
And he's supposed to be one of the people of what are they called? The owls?
The owls?
Yeah.
I don't know about anything about that. But.
Yeah, it's a secret society.
Okay.
One of the writers had already come out and said that they're working them into this season.
Okay.
So I think everybody's saying that Gallivan is part of that group.
Yeah.
But
it was just they spent the last two episodes
such a waste.
They spent the last two episodes because when we see Jerome in season one, he's okay. I mean, he's all right. You kind of see maybe a glimpse of the Joker in that whole interrogation scene.
Right.
But he's nowhere near the Joker. They spent the last two episodes just doing nothing but building this guy up, you know, scene after scene after scene. And he just, you're just like, okay, okay, okay. And then they crown him and then they kill him.
Yep.
And then they try to make up for it by saying, you know, seeing what the Penguin saying, oh, that'll never last. And I heard there was some other scene they said, well, something like that'll never last, you know? And I'm like, really? I'm like, come on. I don't know. It was such disappointment. Such disappointment. Oh, man. But I'm still a fan of the show, still love the show, and I can't wait to see where it goes next. But, man, I hope they bring him back. I really hope they bring him back.
Yeah, and if they don't, it better have been for, like, the greater good of the show. Like, it needs to be, like, some amazing event.
Yeah, exactly.
This gallivant, because right now, I'm thinking, and you know, another thing they said was, oh, well, the real Joker saw that performance.
Yeah.
And felt like he could make it better.
Well, that's fine and great if they can find an actor better that can pull it off better, then I'm all for that. But I don't know. I thought this kid was pretty damn good.
But I'm gonna talk about that in my final thoughts, though.
Yeah, I got a few things to say, too. So speaking of final thoughts, let's get right to it. It's time for final thoughts. Okay, Brian, would you like the final word or tonight?
I can go first if you want.
Okay, go for it.
So I was on cloud nine after episode two, like I'm sure most of the Gotham fans were. Mm-hmm. And then devastated after they killed off who we thought was playing the Joker awesomely. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think possibly could have happened is that Gotham just bowed to the DC movie universe on the whole Joker aspect. They knew that Jerome couldn't be the Joker and then have a different Joker, Jared Leto, play him in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
Similar to what they've done with how they've said that they wouldn't be bringing Batman or Superman into the Flash Arrow TV universe.
Right.
Because DC's afraid they'll confuse people. Or cause major problems when fans decide that they liked one better than the other.
I think they've already got that problem, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I'm ultimately thinking, is that all of a sudden, you know, they had an idea of what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And in order to keep the Joker a mystery.
Yeah.
They had to kill off Jerome. To say that the Joker's still out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That guy is gonna be, if he doesn't show back up, he's gonna be missed.
Yeah. I talk about all the potential in the world and not using it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had the whole Joker. They had the whole Joker Harley Quinn angle going there when the two were working together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying that there's no way that they're going to kill him off. He was too good for the show.
Yeah.
But we've watched, I mean, those of us that watch Game of Thrones have watched a lot of people get killed off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, I'm hoping Gotham's not trying to follow that suit, because if so, we're going to lose almost everybody from the show.
Yeah, I don't think they can, unless they've got some really wacky stuff, you know, down the line. But yeah, keep going, Brian. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh no, you're fine. But yeah, those are my final thoughts.
Copy. Yeah, my final thoughts. I was why? I want to know why they did it, and if it's because of the DC thing, I get it. But bring him back later. The kid is a very viable Joker, in my opinion. I think he could wear the crown. I think he could he could take it to new heights. I was, the idea of having Joker in Gotham right now, I was kind of building it up in my mind, and I was loving the idea in my mind. I already had it built up of Joker versus vis-a-vis Penguin, and I was like, that would be awesome, just to watch, you know, yeah, the city's in chaos, and Gordon is kind of in the middle, but to have these two iconic characters kind of butt heads, go head-to-head, you get to see Penguin versus Joker. In my head, I was just thinking epic, at least an episode or two of it. Just to see like these rival gangs and rival personalities, because in all the other movies that were, even going back to the old TV series, you always had the Joker working with the Penguin. You've never seen the Joker versus the Penguin. Yeah, they've kind of been at odds here and there, but never actually versus each other. So I was really excited to see that. I was very happy with the guy. What was the actor's name, Brian, that played Jerome? What's his name? Do you remember?
No, but I know he also plays on Shameless on Showtime.
Okay. Whatever this actor's name is, forgive me. I'm sure people will be screaming at us. But excellent, excellent actor. He could play any role. But this role, he captured the Joker. He was the Joker. He is the Joker for Gotham, if you ask me. And I think it's something that I want to see more of. I want to see more of him. Bring him back. I love Brian. I love your idea of the rigor mortis and maybe the more pale skin, the green hair idea of bringing him back from the dead or whatever. I want to see it. I think it needs to happen. I think it would be a travesty to the Gotham fans if they didn't. I think if Gotham is its own entity and its own storyline, much like Smallville was from Superman, then let them go. Let them play. Let them play and let them go where they will. I don't think there's going to be any confusion, because I think the movie Suicide Squad is going to be so vastly different from Gotham, it's not going to matter. And the only people you're going to confuse are the children that shouldn't be watching either show anyway. So, in my opinion.
Well, they did say that there's talk that the Joker, Jared Leto, is also going to be in the Ben Affleck Batman standalone movies.
Hmm. Interesting. So you have like a crossover between Suicide Squad and Batman versus Superman.
Yep. And his name is Cameron Monaghan.
Cameron Monaghan. Okay.
Yep.
So Cameron Monaghan, you have my Oscar for the Joker for Gotham. Well done, sir. just would love to see more of him. Would love to. I like I said, I have this whole thing in my head of Penguin versus Joker, and when they killed him, I was just like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, you know. It was like
what the. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no. Where, like I said, after they killed him, like, where's the syringe?
Yeah, exactly. Like, who's bringing it back to life?
Yeah, where's somebody stealing the body? What's, you know, and they didn't, we never got it. So here's hoping for the next episode to be better. Here's hoping that the writers see the light of day, right?
Right, exactly.
So, well, Brian, I think we covered both shows, and we got it down in less than an hour even. So I think we did a good job here covering two shows. And I don't know, Brian, what are you thinking for the future of the show?
Of our show or Gotham?
Gotham, yeah.
I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot more of the Galavans. The upcoming episodes, even at the end of this last show, we did see Barbara kissing Theo Galavan, and looked like the sister was upset because for some reason Barbara was kissing her in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, they got that whole yeah. Another reason why that show shouldn't be on at 8 o'clock in the evening, if you ask me. But that's just me. I'm hoping, you know, I have high hopes for the future of the show, and I hope it only goes up from here. So, yep. Okay, so where can you find us? You can find 4 Midwest Guys, facebook.com/4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on Twitter @4 Midwest Guys, and you can also email us 4 Midwest Guys @gmail.com. Again, we'd love to hear from you out there. We're always looking for feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. We just want to know what you guys think. How do we sound? Do you like the format of the shows? Is there something that you could change? What would you change? Etc. We're trying to grade ourselves, but that only goes so far. So definitely, I know Brian would love to hear from you as well, right, Brian?
Yeah, the one thing I do really want to hear from you guys is what TV shows do you want us to cover? I watch a lot of the we'll call them the comic book TV shows. You know, The Walking Dead or Flash or Arrow or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Gotham. I watch all of them. So I'd like to hear from you guys on what you want me to cover. You know, because we're not just going to have a Gotham show. Do you want us to have other spinoff shows that are specifically for a certain show? Or would you rather see one additional show that covers the memorable moments from each of the shows? You know, more like an all-inclusive kind of show. Just let us know. I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's only so much time and only so many podcasts that we can record in a given week or day, and we would love to hear back from you, because your opinion matters to us. So we love all these shows, and we just don't have the time to do a show for every show. So, we would love to hear back from you. So get online, find us on Facebook, drop us a line there, drop us a line on Twitter, and drop us a line on email. Either way, it doesn't matter. There's three different ways right now you can get a hold of us. So get out there and get typing, guys. We'd like to hear back from you. So for myself, B. Willie, and for Angenbauer, it's been a great show, and thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week for Gotham Watch.